Masechtas Bava Metzia, Daf Samach Zayin, 10 lines on the bottom of Daf Samach Bava Beis, and the Gemara has been discussing dinim of a loan with a mashkin, which is also an element of an smachta. And for example, if Reuven lends Shimon $1,000, and Shimon gives Reuven a sada worth $2,000 as a mashkin, and Reuven tells Shimon that if you don't pay the $1,000 loan back within 3 years, that I will keep the sada. And we saw a machlekes between Rav Huna and Rav Nachman, and then the Gemara stated that Hodam Rav Nachman, that Rav Nachman ultimately was chosen, and he said that even if you made this tnai at the time that you gave the loan, and since he holds a smachta loikanya, therefore Reuven has no rights to the sada at all. And our Gemara begins that Amr Rav Nachman, therefore Rav Nachman states hashad Amr Rabbanon a smachta loikanya. Now that we stated that the Rabbanon hold a smachta loikanya, even this scenario, so hoda arav hadri peri. So let's say Reuven actually takes the field after 3 years, and after that point he starts using the peris of the field. Then if at some later point Shimon realizes that Reuven has no right to the field and he takes Reuven to Bezdin, so Reuven will have to give the field back to Shimon, and he will also have to pay Shimon back and compensate him for any pears that he ate in the interim period. And the Gemara continues and asks, L'meimer the sover of Nachman b'chilu b'tois layav mechila, the L'chir, it seems from here that Rav Nachman holds that even if someone is mechil someone b'tois, that it's not considered a valid mechila. And Rashi explains, ki hai da mechil sover, because the seller thought she knew like that the sada is now connected to the lekech because he didn't pay him back within 3 years, and therefore Reuven's eating peiris menadin, and he was meichel him for eating these peiris, and even so, Bezdin will paskin that Reuven has to compensate Shimon for the peiris that he just ate. And the Gemara will now ask on Rav Nachman from the sheet of Rav Nachman himself, as va'itma we learned, ha'meichel peiris dek l'chaveroi, Reuven has a palm tree, and the palm tree did not yet produce its fruits, and the fruits did not come to the point of and they didn't bud even a little bit, then if Reuven sells the rights to the future dates of this palm tree to Shimon, then certainly at this point, they're considered peers that are loybol la'olam, and Rav Huna states, actually la'olam yachalachzabai, prior to the peers having chanota and budding, then surely Reuven could be chayzah, and as Rashi points out, that even according to the Manda Omar, that other matadav is loybol la'olam, but hani mili shabol lachza ach shabol la'olam, that is only if he's coming to be chayzah, after they already were bol la'olam, and after they already grew. However, prior to them growing, certainly you have a right to be chayzal l'divrei akol. However, Rav Huna continues, "Mishabal la'ilam." Once these peiris already had chanata, ein yachalachzah by Reuven can no longer be chayzal. And as Rashi says, because Rav Huna holds, "Odem makda dov shloim la'ilam b'shas hamecha shi'a mecha chal l'chshiyav la'ilam," and therefore, ein chenami, even though these peiris are not ba'ilam at the time that they consummated the transaction, but ultimately, once there's chanata, then Shimon was koina automatically, and Reuven can't be chayzal. However, Rav Nachman Omer, Rav Nachman states, "Af mishabo lo'ilam yochalachzabai," that even once the peiris already had chanata, that Shimon could be chayza. And Rav Nachman holds that ino demakna dovish loy ba'ilam. And Omer Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman stated that moedina that I am moeda the ishamit va'ochal loy mafkidim inay, that even though I just stated that Reuven could always be chayza because ino demakna dovish loy ba'ilam, but if Reuven was not yet chayza and Shimon grabbed the peiris and ate these peiris, then Reuven can't go to Shimon and ask him to compensate him for these periods. And as Rashi says, as for the entire period that Reuven was not yet chayza, then Reuven was meichel Shimon for eating any of these periods. The alpha pisha b'tay shaloi yodei shiuchalachza mechila. Even so, it is considered mechila, and therefore we see that Rav Nachman himself holds mechila b'tay having mechila. And how could we say that Rav Nachman stated that hoda arav hadra peri, which is mashman he holds mechila b'tay le'av mechila? And the Gemara answers hasam zvini hachalva that really Rav Nachman holds that mechila b'tayis have mechila, and that's why in the case of a mecha, he held that now that Shimon ate these peiris, Reuven was meichel, and therefore Reuven can't demand to be compensated for these peiris. However, b'negei halva, where it's mechse karibis, as the case was where Reuven lent money to Shimon, so if we allow Reuven to keep the peiris and not compensate Shimon for the peiris that he ate, then it'll be mechse karibis. And as Rashi states, u'mechse karibis, shemetchila b'alva b'aloi, u'charibis katsutza dami, and therefore it looks like ribis katsutza. And the Mefarshim explained that even though we have a din of ribis drabbanon, not only by the gei halva, but by the gei mecha as well, however, when the transaction was originally a loan, then we're machmer even more so than by the gei mecha, and therefore in our case, by the gei halva, we say that hadri peri, that Reuven should not keep the peris as it's mechse karibis. However, by the gei the case of mechira, it doesn't look like ribis at all, since people think that he bought these peris. And the Gemara continues, Rava, and we continue on daf samach zayin, Amin Aleph, have you sivna kamei Rav Nachman, at the time that Rav Nachman said his din, but again, Meicher Piris Dekel Chaveri, and Rav Nachman stated Meidina the Yisham Va'ochel Loi Mafkinim Inei, and he said that Mechila B'Toyis Have Mechila, and Uboi Lo Isvei Ayna Va'oid Chazisa on Idleness. And the Gemara will explain this line in a moment, but basically, Rav wanted to ask a question to Rav Nachman from the din of Ayna, and before I had a chance to even ask the question, Rav Nachman looked at me, and as Rashi says, Hishkiach Bi V'Rosh Hayu B'Daiti Lahosh Val Dvarav, and Rav Nachman realized that I was about to ask him a question on his words and on his din that Mechila B'Toyis Have Mechila, and before I even had a chance to ask a question, Rav Nachman immediately said that I should look at the din of idleness, and from there there's a raya to his svara that Mechila B'Toyis Have Mechila. And the Gemara now explains what Rav's question to Rav Nachman was going to be and what the raya of Rav Nachman was, as Barei Na the Mechila B'Toyisi B'Loy Have Mechila. We find the Mishnah Daf Nun Aleph Amud Aleph that teaches us that if Reuven sells a product to Shimon and he charged him 1/6 more, and the din is that even though Shimon didn't know at that point that he was overcharged, but at a later point Shimon could demand that Reuven return the shtus to him, and he returns the ayna. And even though midas nosnlay hoyl v'ta alma, as Rashi says, mechil b'tayis lav mechili, and l'chayr is a ray against Rav Nachman, and ba'odik, and Rav Nachman looked at me and he said, chazis an idleness, did you see the Mishnah b'negei idleness? Have a idleness to mechil b'tayisi v'havi mechila, as we find b'negei an idleness that's mechil b'tayis, and we see that it is mechila, and therefore I have a raya to my din that mechila b'tayis have mechila. And where do we see that? The Tanan, as we learned in the Mishnah Masechtas Ksubas, have a menace v'ashniyah v'ayinless in lehem loy ksuba v'loy peiris v'loy mezainis v'loy belois. And being that most of this Mishnah is not relevant to the raya of the Gemara, we will just quickly run through the Mishnah. But the Mishnah Masechtas Ksubas tells us that if there's a girl who doesn't have a father because her father died, and therefore she can't have kedushin deraisa while she's a ktana, so a mother or her brother could marry her off, and that is kedushin rabbanon. And we know if at a later point she decides that she doesn't want to be married, then she could be mimayin, and even without a get, she could annul the marriage l'mafreya. And the Mishnah also talks about the dinim of Ashniya, which is the dinim of isuri erva de rabbanon, where midraisa they are married. However, the rabbanon instituted a knas and required them to get divorced. And finally, the Mishnah speaks about the case of an idleness where there is a woman who gets married, and after she's already married, they find out that she's an idleness, and she will never show simani godless, and therefore l'mafreya it shows that the marriage was a mekach tois, and the marriage is batal l'mafreya. The Mishnah teaches us that they don't have a right to the ksuba. They also have no right to go to the husbands and say that since you had all my nichsei mulug while you're married and you're eating the fruits of my nichsei mulug, that you have to refund me and you have to reimburse me for all the payers that you ate v'loy mezaynes. And if this woman took out some sort of a loan while they were still married because she needed mezaynes and the husband wasn't available to provide her sustenance and to provide her mezaynes, then at this point the husband doesn't have to pay back that debt, as he's not chayav to pay for her mezaynes. And finally, v'loy belois, if she actually brought in clothing into the marriage and now those clothing were worn and they're a bit worn out, then the din is that the husband could still keep it and he doesn't have to give it back to her. And Ayin Rashi Dibel Maskel Ba'ilnus the Chunisa the Loy Lada Loshen Ayol Ein Lok Suba She Mechri Tois the Lava Dait the Hachi Nazba. And Rashi points out that Afa Gav Dechi Machlohi Ne Duni Di La Le Meisu Biyadai Tois Have Mechil Be Tois Have Mechila. And therefore we have a Raya from this Mishnah Masechtas Ksubas to the din of Reb Nachman that Mechil Be Tois Have Mechila. And Rashi Benegay Piris and Benegay Bloy states as follows: Veloy Piris Nechosim Shenafla Birusha Acha Shenisays Tikbu Chacham Shabalich Piris. The Chacham is sakin that the husband eats the piris of his wife's nichsim lug v'lot tiknu tachtein, and in that place and as a replacement for the piris, the rabbanon misakin she'im nishbeis chayav l'fdoisa mishloi, that a husband has responsibility to pay to his wife if she's captured. Be'ilu, when these three women afal pi she'ein lehem takonas piris, even though they no longer have a takona piris, she'im nishbeis loyivtena the loy karina ba v'isvinach l'inhu afilu hachid l'shetetze loyachs la piris she'achal. And similarly v'loy b'loy sechnis loy begodim b'nun daisa afilu yesh ben kayamim, even if some of them are still kayim at the point that they're no longer married, that he has no responsibility to return them. And therefore, Alma, Mechila Sachkilus Peris, Afa Pisha, Betais Machaloi, Mechila He, that is a valid Mechila. And the Gemara continues, Veloyi, and both Rav's Raya against Rav Nachman and Rav Nachman's Raya from the Mishnah Masechtas Ksubas are not valid, as Loyo Yino Havi Tiyofta, as Rav's Kasha from Yino to Rav Nachman is not a Tiyofta Rav Nachman, Veloy Islandless Meseele, and the din of Islandless in Masechtas Ksubas is not a Raya to Rav Yechron. And why is that? Because lo yinah tiyufte de lo yada de isi yinah de machal gabei, as benegei yinah, the seller didn't know that there was actually yinah involved, and therefore there was no way that he was meichlet. Masha'inkin, in our case, place where there was Pirus Dekel, so he knew that he was buying the Pirus Dekel, and he knew that the person was eating it, and therefore the Klal Mechila B'Tayis, how Mechila would apply in our scenario of Rav Nachman, and not necessarily in the scenario of Einar. Rashi explains, the Yoda Shinisana de Lechel, Hilkach in Kamechila Vafila B'Tayis, in the case of Einar, there's no case of a Mechila at all, and it's not even Mechila B'Tayis. However, Loy Islandis Mesele, the Gemara tells us that the Mishnah Mesechus Subis, Benegay Islandis, is not a riot Rabbi Echron, even if we would generally say that Mechila B'Tayis, Loy have Mechila, however, Benegay Islandis, she certainly is Mechilat, the Nichila, the Tepik Law, Shmad Ishas, as certainly there's a benefit to her because she wants to make sure that there was some point in time where people said that she was married, and that itself is a benefit to her, and therefore she will be Mechil, even if generally we say Mechila B'Tayis, Loy have Mechila, and as Rashi says, Vafilu Yadash, she is happy that her husband at that time would eat the piris. Ultimately, she had a shmada ishus, and that was a prestigious thing for her, and therefore she was meichel. And the Gemara continues with the story, that there was a woman that the Gemara will tell us, according to one pshat of Rashi, whose name was Navla, and she said to a man, that I want you to be my shliach, I want you to go buy a certain piece of property from one of my relatives, and the shliach went and bought this property for her from a karev, and Amalei, and the karev said to the shliach, "Ihavli zuzi mahadish lanele." I want to make a tnai that if at some point I have money, then at that point I want to have the right to buy the sada back from my karev and from my relative. And Amalei and the shliach said to the seller, "Atve Navla achi, that you and Navla are brothers, and therefore you'll work it out with her." And the pashas was mashma that the shliach was saying that I don't have the authority to go and make this tnai and go work it out with your karev. Rashi explains, "Atve Navla achi." Atav he kravim atem, that you and she are kravim v'tisratzu beinechem, and you'll make a deal between both of yourselves. V'navla loshen arami, and the loshen navla is from Aramaic. Bein bezachar bein menekeva, because she writes lema atav hu, when you want to say you and someone else, or atav he or you and she, this is the terminology that you will use, and the word navla is not referring to the name of the woman. And kachri isi b'tshuvas hagainim bani oime. However, Rashi says that I say shezeh shema, that this was the name of the woman, and her name was actually Navla. Maisa, they had a shaila asked to the rights of this karev to go and buy back his sada or his bias, and Amar Rav Barav Huna, and Rav Barav Huna said, "Kol atvin navla achi samche daite v'legomer makne." That when someone uses this lashon of atvin navla achi, then the seller was soymich das that he actually had a valid tnai and that they agreed to this tnai, and therefore the seller was not gomer makne without this tnai, and therefore he has a right to go and buy back the sada at a point that he has the money. And the Gemara continues that the Gemara on Daf Samach taught us that if someone actually states that I'm only selling you this sada if I have a right of redemption, then if he eventually goes and redeems this sada, there is a problem of ribbis, as we look at it as if the buyer gave a loan to the seller. And for example, if Reuven gave $100,000 to the seller to buy Shimon's field, and then eventually Shimon gives $100,000 back to Reuven to take back his field, and in the meantime Reuven was eating the pears and receiving all the benefits of this property, so then this looks like ribbis, as Reuven gave $100,000 to Shimon to use for an extended period of time, and now Shimon gave the full $100,000 back to Reuven, and in the meantime, Reuven used that sada for the entire period of time. And therefore, our Gemara continues that in this case, if this relative goes and redeems the property from Navla, so Ara Hadra, certainly he could take back the property, but Peri Mai, can he also demand that the Perius should actually be returned to him? Because ultimately, we should look at this as a loan, and therefore, the Perius that Navla received during this interim period should be considered ribbis. And we know in the case of ribbis katsutza, the Rabbi Eliezer held that's yoytze b'dayanim, and in the case of ribbis drabbanon, that's not yoytze b'dayanim. The Gemara explains the shaila, ribbis katsutza hava over yoytze b'dayanim. Do we say that it has a din like ribbis katsutza, and therefore the dayanim will force her to give back the value of the period that she already used? Or yidilma, what do we say? Ki avak ribbis havu, that this has a din of avak ribbis ve'in yoytzin, and the din is that's in yoytze b'dayanim. And the Gemara tells us, Amar Rav Bar Huna mistavra ki avak ribbis havu ve'in yoytze b'dayanim. That it's mistavra that this has a din of avak ribbis, and therefore it's ein yoytze b'dayanim, and the karev could not get the pirus back from Navla. V'chein Amar Rabba ki avak ribbis havu ve'ein yoytze b'dayanim, and it's a bit schwer to understand what the Gemara's havmin is that this is ribbis katsutza, as first of all this was done derech mekach memkar, and number two there was no actual money that was discussed at the time of the loan, and therefore it doesn't meet any of the criteria of being ribbis katsutza and being ribbis teraisa. Now in the previous case we were talking about a scenario, Navla sold the property to a relative and it was done derech mekach memkar. However, Amalei Abayi Abba, Abaye asked the following question to Rabba, Mashkanta Mai, what would be the din when there is an actual transaction that was done as a loan? And for example, Reuven loaned $1,000 to Shimon, and Shimon gave Reuven a mashkin to hold, and in the meantime, Reuven ate the papyrus of the mashkin. Now, certainly there is no question that Reuven, the lender, ate the papyrus shaloikadin, and he ate them improperly, and certainly that's a bak ribis. And the shaila just is that since he actually did not make up that there was a specific amount of money that he would pay as interest, and therefore it wasn't a set amount, so in this case, since it was done, derech havah, would Reuven have to pay back the value of these papyrus or not? And the Gemara explains, hasam tanim amai mishim loy kotzle, hachanami loy kotzle, then the previous case, the reason why it was considered ribis drabanon is because they didn't set an actual value to the ribis, and over here also, there was no set value to the ribis, and therefore it's not ribis deraisa, it's not ribis ketsutza, and the din would be that in yoytze medianim, oiduma, or do we say that hasam zvini, then the previous case we were talking about a transaction which was done derech mekach memka, and over there we say that in yoytze medianim, but hachavah, but over here when it was done derech havah, maybe we're going to be more machmer, and we're going to say he has to give back to Paris. The Gemara tells us, omalei, the rabbi responded to Abaya, hasam tayimai, mishim le kotzle, hachanami le kotzle, and this is only ribis drabbanon, and even though it was done derech havah, the din is that in yoytze medianim, and l'chir, this din of rabba seems to go against the din of Rab Nachman that we had in Daf Samach Vavam Beis that stated Hashid Amar Rabbanon Asmach LeKanya Hodra Ara VaHodra Peiri, and the Gemara stated that there was a chiluk between Zvini and Halva Ayin Sham. The Gemara tells us that Amar Papi, Rab Papi stated of Ravina Ovda the Choshev VaApik Peiri the Leikurah Barvuna, and a similar shiloh came in front of Ravina, and Ravina actually calculated the amount of Peiris and he made the buyer refund and reimburse the amount of Peiris to the seller, and Ravina Paskin not like Rab Barvuna, and since the Gemara doesn't say the loy kurabo and it states the loy kurabo barvuna, then we see that this story was a case of mekach memka, and even though it was a case where the transaction was derech mekach memka, even so he was yoytze b'dyanim and he required the buyer to reimburse the seller for the peiros as well, and this would be even more chomer than the din of Rab Nachman that we had in Daf Samach Vav Beis. However, Ayin entices Diva Masal Peri Mai Karibis Ketsuta Dami V'yoytzin, where he discusses this point and he says that the reason for Ravina was not based on ribis but based on Mechila B'tais, Ayin Sham. Before we continue with the next Gemara, let's point out that B'negiim Mamashkin, there were different minhagim and different customs in various places. In some places, the minig was that when someone lent money, then they had a time frame where they would be able to keep the mashkin, and the borrower would not be able to pay off the loan within a specific time frame. However, there were other mekaymos where the minig was that it was asur misalki, and at any point that the borrower wanted, he could go back to the lender and pay off the loan and take back the mashkin. And the Gemara states, Amar Rav b'Rei Rav Yosef Mishmei Rava, then Rabba, the son of Rav Yosef, said in the name of Rava, Hamashkanta ba'asur misalki, that if Reuven lent $1,000 to Shimon, and Reuven took a mashkin from Shimon, and it was an area where Shimon always has the right to prepay and pay back $1,000 to Reuven and take back the mashkin, so certainly Minadin, Reuven has no right to eat the peiros of the Sada because ultimately that would be considered ribis drabanon, and therefore he teaches us Achol Shiazuzi, if Reuven ate $1,000 worth of peiros, and at that moment Shimon comes to Reuven and says that I was tracking you and you just ate $1,000 worth of peiros, and therefore it's considered as if I paid off my loan and I want my mashkin back, then misalkinale, then we would force Reuven to give the mashkin back to Shimon, and Shimon would no longer owe any money to Reuven, and the $1,000 of peiros that Reuven ate would offset the amount of the loan that he gave to Shimon. However, Ochel Tfei Loi Mafkini Minei, if Reuven ate $2,000 worth of payers, then although at this point Shimon could come to Reuven and force Reuven to give back the mashkin, and he could apply $1,000 worth of the payers that Reuven ate to his loan, and he won't owe Reuven any more money. However, he can't demand that Reuven also pay him the extra $1,000 that Reuven ate, because as we stated, when you have ribis drabanan, it's in yoytze b'dayanim. And Rabbi Brei Rav Yosef also taught us in the name of Rava, the that let's say Shimon owed Reuven $1,000 based on one shtar, and Shimon also owed Reuven another $1,000 based on another transaction and another loan, then since Reuven took the mashkin based on one specific havah, so therefore when Shimon offsets the amount of payers that Reuven ate against one of his loans, he can only apply that to the first loan of $1,000, but he can't apply it to the second loan of $1,000 because the maaseh, the mashkin wasn't given for that loan, as if so, it would be as if it would be Yotze B'dyanim, and we're taking money away from Reuven for eating Rubis Rabbanon, and we stated that B'negei Rubis Rabbanon, the din is that in Yotze B'dyanim, and the Gemara continues, Uvidiasmi, and if there were Yisoyimim K'tanim, where they borrowed money, they gave a mashkin to Reuven, Ochel Shir Zuzi Misalkin Le, then once again, certainly they have the same din, that if Reuven ate $1,000 worth of the pears, so that will offset the loan, and therefore the Yisoyimim will no longer owe any money to Reuven, and Reuven would have to give the mashkin back to the Yisoyimim. However, in the case of Yisoyimim, we'll make all an Ochel Tfei Mafkida Mine, and even if Reuven ate more than $1,000, and for example, he ate $2,000, then we would force Reuven to actually pay an extra $1,000 back to the Yisoyimim, U'machashvina Mishtara L'shtara, and in addition, we also will be Mechashev from one star to another star, and even though Reuven had two separate loans to the Yisoyimim, and the mashkin only applied to one of the loans, even so, if he ate more than $1,000, and for example, he ate $2,000, and between both of the loans, the Yisoyimim owed Reuven $2,000, then we would consider it that Reuven was paid back in full, and Reuven would not be able to demand the second $1,000 from the Yisoyimim. Rashi explains, Ochel Tfei Mafkina Minei, Shebezin Shebeir, Avin Shel Yisoyimim, because Bezin in the city is like the father of the Yisoyimim, by Reim Shlitim, Lassus Mishpat, and therefore they want to make sure to do proper judgment for Yisoyimim. Behim Loi Machlo Ala Idav Sheochel, Behavali Kamanda Selku, Mishaita De Ochel Sheazuzi, and it's as if they took this money back from Reuven at the time that he ate these pears. The Gemara continues that Amr Ravashi states, and he argues on this din of Rava, because he feels that if we're going to say that since it's Ribis Rabbanon, therefore it's in Yetzir B'dyanim, that L'chari there should be no difference between if he ate $1,000 or if he ate more than $1,000. And as Ravashi states, Hashad Amrit Ochel Tvei Lo Mafkinu Minei, since you admit that if Reuven ate more than $1,000, that certainly that would not go to offset any other loan, and you would also not be able to demand that he compensate you for the payers that he ate, because Ribis Rabbanon is in Yetzir B'dyanim, so Ochel Shir Zuzi Nami Lo Misalkinu Le B'lo Zuzi. So even if he ate exactly $1,000, then Shimon can't say to Reuven that Lemaisa, that $1,000 should offset the amount of the loan, and it's as if I paid off the loan, and therefore you have to give me back my karka, and you have to give me back the mashkin, and my time, and what is the reason? Because Seluke B'lei Zuzi Afukim Nehu, forcing Reuven to give back the karka and give back the mashkin without having paid any money to him, that is as if you're taking back the ribbis from him, and we know that ribbis Rabbanon is in Yetzir B'dyanim, and Lemaisa, what's the difference if you physically take back the money, or if you apply it and you offset it to the original loan? If at best, have a vak ribbis, there is only a problem of vak ribbis and ribbis drabbanon, the vak ribbis in yotze b'dyanim, and a vak ribbis is not yotze b'dyanim, and therefore Rav Ashi is chiluk on the din that Rava braid Rav Yosef brought in the name of Rava. And the Gemara continues that just like Rav Ashi just explained, that we would not offset the loan based on the achilas pears that Reuven ate and that the lender ate, then similarly Rav Ashi argues on the second din of Rava, and he says there's no chiluk between a regular case where the borrower was a gadol or a case where the borrower was a yosem, as in both cases we still have the same din that when you have ribis drabbanon, it's ein yotze b'dyanim. And as the Gemara states, of Rav Ashi Oda b'yisayim k'tanim k'gdoilim, that he applied the same din that we just applied to g'dolim to a scenario where the borrower was yisayim k'tanim, and even though the borrower was k'tanim, we would not make all, and we still said that din is that ribis drabbanon is ein yotze b'dyanim, and therefore even though the lender ate peiros shalekadin as it was ribis drabbanon, we would still not be able to offset any loans of the yisayimim. The yisayim would still owe the entire debt to Reuven and to the lender. Before we continue, let's see the Banan Rashi do a mask lay misalkin le blay zuze achiyitin le kol shiyam myself asay, until he pays back the entire loan, and until that point you don't have to return the mashkin. The kivin dechirach lino lahach la b'teris pureinach lino havalei avak ribis mishas achila ve'inu yotz b'dyanim, and the din is that avak ribis is inu yotz b'dyanim, and therefore it can't be used to offset the loan. V'chisalku misadazu blay zuze afukim minei avak ribis shachlu, then that's the same thing as taking back the ribis. And of course, we just stated that b'negei ribis drabbanon, it's in yotzim b'dyanim. And Rashi explains that why is it that the Gemara spoke specifically about a case of mashkanta ba'asur misalki, and zokt Rashi v'haid nokel el asur misalki, the ilu asur le misalki, as if it would be an area where a borrower doesn't have a right to pay off his loan and take back the mashkin within a specific amount of time. As Rashi says, shenogu lechol hamashkina shana maktsuvis l'minhagan, v'ilu havle zuze loy matzi misalikle, and even if the borrower would have money, he would not be able to get back his mashkin during that specific amount of time. And we continue on Daf Samach Zayin Rabbeis. Amr Rava Breid Rav Yosef Mishmed Rava. Once again, Rava Breid Rav Yosef says over a member in the name of Rava, Hai Mashkanta Ba'asur Misalki, that if there's a mashkin in a place where the loiver can pay off the malva and get back the mashkin, and he could prepay the loan at any point, and there is no lockout period. So certainly the lender can't eat the piris of the mashkin and can't get benefit from the mashkin, as that would be a problem of ribbis drabbanon. However, Rava teaches us that there is a way that the lender could actually use the piris and could benefit from these piris, and not be oivon issa of ribbis deraisa, and not even be oivon issa drabbanon of ribbis, and it'll be mutter for him to eat his piris lechatchila. And the way to do that is if the lender would make up with the borrower that I am taking this mashkin, and for every year that I keep the mashkin, I will take off a set amount of money that'll offset the loan and amortize the loan. And since at the point that they make this tnai, neither party knows how much piris this field will produce, therefore it's possible that the lender will gain and it's possible that the lender will lose, and therefore this is more like an iska, and that's why it will be mutter. As Rashi states, as it seems that he's selling it to him, that even if the sada will not give out and will not produce that much piris during that year, he will still deduct a specific amount from the loan, and therefore, even if he takes more, it's not considered ribbis. And this din specifically pertains in the city where the minig is that the borrower could always pay off the loan early. And over there, it's even more kal, and even without deducting any amount from the loan, this would be mutter, as it's definitely considered like a mecher and not like a loan. In order to understand the concept of nechiyasa a bit better, let us give an example. So, for example, if Reuven lent $1,000 to Shimon, and Reuven takes a sada as a mashkin from Shimon, and Reuven tells Shimon that for every year that I keep this sada, I will deduct $100 from your loan, even if in year one the sada produces $200 worth of payers, that would be allowed and it would not be considered a case of ribbis, even though Reuven only deducts $100 from the loan, because there was a possibility that this field would only produce $50 of payers, and therefore Reuven would lose, and therefore it's considered a mecher and it's considered iska, and we don't even consider this a problem of ribbis rabbanon. However, Rav also stated that although by using this structure you could avoid ribbis rabbanon, however, a Talmud Chacham should avoid this structure and he should not even eat b'nechiyasa. And Rashi says v'tzurim rabbanon should tzarich liyashid rachav uliskadesh apim mutloi penny labner menel lizalz b'yisurin afilim b'nechiyasa nami loynechal. Therefore, he should be machmer on himself. And Rashi in Masechet Shabbos teaches tzurim rabbanon is Talmud Chacham, and in Masechet Tainus he states bachal charev kamoi beyed tzuriva. And that's older, we would not call it Tzurim Rabbanon, and we refer to him as a Humer Rabbanon. And the Gemara states, El B'may Nechal, is there a structure in which he could eat the Piris, and there wouldn't be a problem of Ribbis Rabbanon? And the Gemara tells us, B'kitzutza, and the Gemara will explain exactly what the concept of Kitzutza is in a moment, but the Gemara continues, Ha'nich L'man Oma Kitzutza Shaya. This makes a lot of sense according to the Manda Oma that says that it is Mutter to eat Piris when it's structured as kitzutza, eleman ama kitzutza asira ma'ik lemeimah. But according to the Manda Amar that is choyluk and holds that eating piris structured as kitzutza is going to be asa. And how would a Talmud Chacham be able to structure a transaction in a way that they could eat piris? And the Gemara explains that we have a machlekes b'negiyah kitzutza. The itma, as we learned, kitzutza pligibar Rav Acher Avino. Rav Acher Avino will choyluk b'negiyah the case of kitzutza. Chad ama kitzutza sharia. One says that kitzutza is muta, v'chad ama kitzutza asira, and one holds that kitzutza is asa. And the Gemara now is Hechidam Kitzutza. What is the case of Kitzutza? And the Gemara will bring two different definitions. And number one, the Amalei that the borrower says to the lender, Ad Chamashonin Achil Nala B'loy Nechiyasa, that for the first 5 years of the transaction, then you could eat the piris and you don't have to offset the loan at all, which is of course a great chiddush and a great kula for Talmud Chacham. Mikam Ve'ilich Shamanalach Kulu Piri. Once 5 years comes, then you will have to deduct and offset off of the loan the entire value of the piris. And for example, after 5 years, if you eat $100 worth of piris based on the market value of piris, then you would have to take off the full $100 off of the loan amount, and you would offset of the loan dollar for dollar based on the exact amount that you ate of these piris. Lefizeh, according to the Manda Omer that said that this would be mutter, and certainly we found a way that a certain rabbanon can structure the eating of piris, and it would not be considered ribbis rabbanon. However, according to the Manda Omer that said it would be asar, then we still don't have a way that a certain rabbanon can structure a transaction and be exempt from ribbis. And the Gemara continues, Ikad Amri, that others have a different definition of what kitzutza is. As Lafi, this version, kol b'loy nechiyasa asa, that certainly if there's any time period where you don't actually take off any value from the loan amount, that certainly would be mamish ribbis and would be asur midrabanan. Aval hechi dami kitzutza, what would be a case of kitzutza? The amalei where the borrower says to the lender, ad chamishnin achilna b'nechiasa, that for the first 5 years of the loan period, there will be a set amount of money that will offset the loan and amortize the loan, and it's irrelevant how much peiros you eat. However, mikan ve'ilach shamin l'cha kulu peri, but from that point forward, then we will actually evaluate dollar for dollar based on the exact amount of peiros that you ate and based on the value of these peiros in the shuk. And of course, based on this definition of kitzutza, it comes out that kitzutza is more chamur than the standard din of nechiasa, and there has to be a specific time frame where you will actually burn off the concept of nechiasa, and at that point, you will go and be able to amortize the loan dollar for dollar. Once again, according to the Manda Amar, either Rav Acha or Ravina that hold that this din of kitzutza would be asar, so l'chira, how would a Talmud Chacham be able to structure a loan where he'll be able to eat peiros and not be oivan is to drabana of ribbis? And the Gemara continues, Manda asar b'kamaisa sharib basraisa, that at least according to the first version, even though there's a Manda Amar that holds that in that case it would be asar, however, in the scenario that we mentioned in the second version, where the lender actually deducts a set amount of money even during the first 5 years, and then he deducts dollar for dollar in any subsequent years, then even the Manda Amar that said it would be asar, but in this scenario, it would be mutar, and therefore, this could be a way that a Talmud Chacham could structure a transaction, and he would not be able on ribbis drabanan. However, Manda Asar b'basraisa, according to the Manda Amar that says that even in the structure of the Ikka de Amri, it's still considered ribbis drabanan, even though they structured in a way that was beneficial to the borrower, and even so, it's asar. If so, hechi shari lemechel, in what scenario would it be mutar for a Talmud Chacham to structure the transaction will be able to eat peiros? Gemara explains, shari kimashkanta de sura, that a Talmud Chacham does have an etzah, and he could structure a transaction in a way that he takes a mashkin based on the mashkin that was done in sura, the kasub b'hachi, that they used to write as follows, b'mishalom shanya ilon tepik arador b'loy kesef, that they say that I'm going to lend you $1,000, and I'll use this mashkin for 10 years, and after 10 years, it doesn't make a difference how much peiros I received or didn't receive. At that point, you will already burn off your loan, and the loan will be amortized completely, and you won't have to pay me any more money. As Rashi states, lo merci kalva, in this case, it doesn't seem like kalva at all. Elo kelokech himenu peiros hashanah ma'ilu b'moyis halolu, and it looks like he's selling him the peiros of this field for a specific period of time, and it's not based on a loan. And this type of structure, then the issa of ribbis drabanan wouldn't even apply. And the Gemara continues that now that we mentioned that there were different customs regarding a mashkin, and in some places you could prepay a loan and take back the mashkin, and some places there was a lockout period where you couldn't prepay the loan and take back your mashkin, so therefore there would be nafkaminus la'alocha between the two types of mashkinis, as Rav Papa Rav Huna Beit Rav Shua Amri Tavayu, at both Rav Papa and Rav Huna Beit Rav Shua state, hai mashkanta ba'asun misalki, this type of mashkin where the borrower always has the right to prepay the lender and take back the mashkin, we can't look at this mashkin as belonging to the lender, as the borrower always has the right to get back the mashkin, and therefore, im bal choyv gavi yimena, Reuven lent $1,000 to Shimon, and Reuven takes a mashkin from Shimon, Reuven owed money to Levi, Levi can't come and be goyv the mashkin from Reuven, as Reuven really doesn't have full bailus on this mashkin, as at any point, Shimon could go and prepay the loan and take back the mashkin. In addition, ein abachod neitul bapishnayim, that if the malva dies, and even if the borrower never pays back the loan, and now the children have a right to this property and to the mashkin, however, the bechor would not be able to take pishnayim because it's not considered that the father had a chazaka on this item when he died, and it's considered royu, and it's therefore a bechor is not neitul pishnayim, but royu could be muchzik. And finally, shvius misham tasa, that although we know that if someone lends someone money with a mashkin, then shvius is not misham tasa, however, over here, it's not considered a standard case of a mashkin, and therefore shvius would still be mishamet this loan. And they continue, va'asud loy misalki, and in a place where Reuven takes a mashkin and Shimon cannot prepay the loan, and there's a lockout period where Shimon can't go and take back the mashkin, balchoyv goyve himenu, then the balchoyv of Reuven can take away the mashkin from Reuven as it's considered Reuven's property, and it's considered as if he owns the property even from this point, and it's considered as if the father already owned this property, and therefore b'chor takes pishnayim because it's considered that the father was muchzik, and it wasn't only considered rai. And number three, ve'ein shvius misham tasa, that this is a standard case of alval mashkin, and therefore shvius would not be misham at this loan. And ayin Rashi doing maskel in balchayv goyv himenor, that Rashi says that's not talking about the actual malva, malva, but we're talking about the yarshin. And as Rashi says, a mes hamalva v'nafel tzayin banav, that if the malva dies and this mashkin now falls to the children and they are yorish this mashkin, ein balchayv shalavim goy v'himena, the ein lehem lavim b'kuf shal kaka klum u'metalte ba'almon ninu, and therefore the gabri yisoyimim, it's considered like metalten u'metalten yasmin loy mishtabdi l'balchayv, the bishleim of oyde kayim, as bishleim his father was alive, govi afilu miglim and akasvei, that any of his creditors could be goyvo even from the shirt that's on his back, and therefore it could be goyvo to mashkin shurei loy hilva ma'isav v'nishtabed v'atayra amrei yavish liach bezim v'yikonis l'beisav v'yitul mashkoinoi d'chsiv v'ish asher neishad boi v'amino kamon zesh liach bezim. However, aval hecha de mis, where the actual lender died, b'had yasmi mayavidte de tova harei lo lo v'manu l'maisa, he didn't lend money to them v'yarsi kakois mishtabed n'chosim mechayim u'mechayim edin arev. However, if they yerish regular kaka, then certainly the lender had a pre-existing lien against that piece of kaka while the father was alive. It's as if the kaka was an ori for this loan, because we lent the money, he was saying on the kaka, al-metaltli afilu din arev leka, but b'negei metaltlin, there was no din of arev, the lavalau samach malva, as a malva is not saying al-metaltlin, hol b'yadu latzin v'l'abdon, since a borrower can go and hide them, and get rid of all of metaltlin, and become judgment proof, and therefore he's never saying das on those metaltlin, and therefore the din is that metaltlin yaspi is loy mishtabni l'balchoiv, even if this mashkin is kaka, we still look at it as if it's metaltlin, and since we're referring to a bashkanta ba'ashen misalki, therefore it's considered like metaltlin and not as kaka. Rashi and Hiram Masl ina b'chor noitul b'shnayim states l'manda omer b'basro the ina b'chor noitul b'shnayim b'milva honami choyl v'ashen misalki and milva ba'almo, it's considered milva ba'almo, the ina sada l'fonav el l'shiva peiris, as this sada is only owned by his father as a shiva on the peiris v'havalei roi v'ina b'chor noitul b'roi lav l'fneim l'achem misa l'achle k'b'muchzut b'yad ovev d'chsiv b'chol ashi yamatzei loi. And finally, Rashi explains the din of Shvius Misham Tasa, Kesham Milva Bishtah, Shinichsi Levi Mishubodlan, Vishvius Misham Tasan, the Inza Milva Mashkin, as over here we don't consider the Milva Mashkin, Shin Shvius Misham Tasai, the Hossam bin Mashkin Shamataltan Kaminon, as by a standard case of Milva Mashkin, we're talking about a Mashkin of Metaltan, the time Mishun Bachoiv Kaina Mashkin Shabiyadai, and the reason is because Bachoiv is Kaina Mashkin that he has in his hands, the Afinum Melchor Tiyatzdaka, and the Havalek Gavoi, and it's considered as if he was already Gaiva, the Choiv, and therefore Shvius will not be Mishamit. And the Gemara continues, V'om Mazutra Mishmedra Papa, and Mazutra stated Nimra Papa, Hai Mashkanta Ba'asun Misalki, this Mashkin that was taken by a lender, and it's a place where the borrower could prepay, and there is no lockout period. So the din is Misalkale Vafilu Mitamri Davudya, that when the borrower pays off the loan, then he could force the lender to return the Mashkin, and not only return the Mashkin itself and the Kaka itself, but even those payers that fell onto the ground and were already off the trees, he also has a right to, and the lender can say that I was ready to claim it. And Rashi explains, when they would go and collect their dates, they would spread out mats underneath the palm trees, and the dates would fall on top of them. And if the buyer would come and pay off the chayv, and even though these tmarim are already loose and already off the trees, that he would still be able to take them, and the malva would not be able to claim that I already owned them. However, Mazutra continues, however, if the lender actually already picked up these payers off of these mats and he placed it into a basket, then he was already clean it, and therefore the borrower would not be able to take those dates. And according to the Manda Oma, that the kelim of a buyer is cleaner even the Rishus of Meicha, so Lumaisa, these mats belong to the buyer, and therefore once the dates fell onto the mats, so the buyer was already cleaner, and the lender already was cleaning those payers, and the borrower cannot take back those payers, even though they are only on the mats. And as the Gemara states, I feel that the lender was cleaned even though they were only on the mats, and he didn't lift them up, and he didn't make akbar, and he never lifted up these dates and put them into a basket. The Gemara continues, Pshita ba'asun misalki, if there is a place where the minig is that if someone gives a mashkin, that the borrower has a right to prepay, and there is no lockout period, and the borrower could always get back his mashkin, and the lender makes a t'nai with the borrower that I don't want you to be able to prepay, they made a t'nai, and therefore the borrower cannot prepay within the lockout period, the borrower would not be able to prepay the loan and take back the mashkin. However, I have a question, in a place where the minig is that the borrower cannot prepay, and the borrower tells the lender that I want the right to prepay and take back my mashkin at any point, and I don't want there to be be a lockout period, my, what is the din? The Gemara Shaila is, tzarech l'miknah minei oiloi, is there a requirement to make a kinyan in order for this tznai to be chal, or even without a kinyan, the tznai would be chal? And Rav Papa amalei tzarech l'miknah minei, Rav Papa says there is no requirement to make a kinyan. Rav Sheish b'rei Rav Idi amat tzarech l'miknah minei, and Rav Sheish b'rei Rav Idi says that there is a requirement to make a kinyan. V'hilchasa and halach is tzarech l'miknah minei. Let us see Rashi, then the first case where it was an asra de misalki va'amaloi mistalakna. Rashi says that the lender has to specifically say this b'shas matam mois that histam menash loy tuchel salkeni akach v'kach shonim v'al menas kein nasa moisea, and therefore when the lender gave this loan he did this on that condition the kaka nikta b'kesa bein derech mekach bein derech schriers bein b'chol drachim kefi atnai. Therefore since the lender gave the loan to the borrower, so the kesef that he gave him will be able to be koina and give him these rights. However, the Gemara's question is, in the case where it was the opposite and the borrower made this tnai and the borrower wants to write to prepay the loan and doesn't want to have a lockout period, so the shaila is the loikonimine debur ba'amu, as in this case there is no kinyan because the borrower didn't give any money to the lender and therefore it's based on debur ba'amu v'yachal leima loyishanim in aminig, and therefore the lender could say that I don't want to change from the minig of this area and from the custom of this makayim. And the Gemara continues with another scenario, omar ezel v'aisizuzay, if you're in an area where the borrower has a right to prepay a mashkin, or if it's after the lockout period and the borrower comes to the lender and says, I have the money to pay you back and I'm going to bring the money. So the din is loy ochel. At this point, the lender can't go and quickly chap rein and grab a bunch of pears and eat those pears. If the borrower says that I'm going to be matriach in order to get your money and I'm about to pay you off, Ravina Omar Ochel, Ravina says that the lender could still eat the pears as the borrower didn't say that he actually has the money and he's about to pay him off. However, Mazurta Breda Mari, Omar Loy Ochel, Mazurta Breda Mari says that the lender can no longer eat the pears. The Hilchasa and Allah is Loy Ochel, that the lender can no longer eat the pears. And Ridva points out that certainly the lender doesn't get locked out from eating these pears forever, and he only has to give the borrower the opportunity to pay him off. But if he sees that the fruit will about to go bad and spoil, then certainly at that point the lender could eat the pears, and the borrower doesn't have any right to hold him back from eating these pears. The Gemara continues, Rav Kana, Rav Papa, Rav Ashi, Loy Ochel ben Achiyaisa. Rav Kana, Rav Papa, and Rav Ashi would not rely on the heta that Rav Breda Rav Yosef brought in the name of Rav, that a lender could structure a deal in which he could eat pears, setting a specific amount of money that will offset the loan, amortize the loan on an annual basis. However, Ravina Ochel ben Achiyaisa, Ravina would rely on the heta and would consume the pears of a mashkin, and he relied on the heta that we brought at the top of the Amid from Rav Breda Rav Yosef in the name of Rav. And Taisus points out, Tamed El Amrinon, the Tzum Rabbana, that how could Rabino rely on the Seta if we stated previously that Tzum Rabbana should not rely on the Seta? But Oid Le'el, if Ligu Bikitsutza, Rab Acher Rabino, that Filu Mad Ashari, Moidu Ben Chiyasa, the Asal Chalapachas, the Tzum Rabbana, we see that both Rabino and Rab Acher were discussing various scenarios, but they both agreed that in the case where it's pure Nechiyasa, that certainly a certain Rabbana cannot rely on the Seta. But in Rabbein Tam, Rabino Lehoi Ritzel Lital Hashem, Velas Atzmai Tzum Rabbana, that as the Gemara Mesechtes Brachas teaches us, that Lehoi and therefore Ravina did not want to actually consider himself a Tzum Rabbanon, and therefore he relied on his Heta. And Taisus gives another Teretz, that I found a different Gersa in the Sefer Rabbeinu Tam, that Rav from B'mok Ravina beplukta the Kitzutza, that it actually wasn't Ravina that was Skoilik on Rab Acha in the case of Kitzutza, and it was Rav from, and therefore we don't have a steer from Ravina on Ravina himself. And number three, V'yesh Mepharshim, Da'ach L'chiyos Ravina, Hayne Kitzutza, the Iklamein B'chom Mishonim Achilu Ben Chiyosa Mikam Be'ilach Shemino Lekulu Peres that Pligar Rav Acher Ravina V'Kaim Lon Ravina Lekula, that Lemaisa there's Machleket between Rav Acher and Ravina, and we hold like Ravina and he was going Lekula, and therefore the man the Omer that said it's Muta was Ravina, and the case that Ravina was eating Ben Chiyosa was in the scenario of Kitzutza that we mentioned previously, and certainly in that case Ravina holds that it was Muta, and that's why there was no issue. And the Gemara continues, Omer Mazurta my time of the man the Acher Ben Chiyosa, that what is the reason of the man the Omer that ate Ben Chiyosa, and what is the reason that Ravina relied on this heta? The Gemara states, "Me to have a stei achuzah that is similar to the din of a stei achuzah. That stei achuzah lab afgab the ka'achol perituva omer rachmana kaparik lo ba'abba zuzi. That we know that if someone gives their stei achuzah to hegdish, the din is that someone could be put to that field from hegdish up until yovel, and they pay a specific amount of money for each year until the year of yovel. And we know the share is that you pay chamishim shekel for a base zerachim esarim laban v'tesha shneis hayovel for the 49 years of yovel." And therefore it comes out that you pay one seller and a punyan for every single year of Yovel. And for example, if there are 10 years left to Yovel, then you pay 10 Sela and 10 Pudyon to Hegdish, even though potentially the buyer and the person that's redeeming this field from Hegdish will potentially gain, as although there's a potential that this field will actually not yield a lot of Paris, but certainly he's not buying this for no reason, and certainly he feels B'derech HaTeva, this field could produce a lot more than 10 Sela and 10 Pudyon over the next 10 years, and although certainly he's getting a good deal, but L'maisa, there is some risk involved, and therefore there is no problem, and you're not going and taking advantage of Hegdish, and Hachinami Loishna, and therefore B'negei the Din of Ribbis as well, since the lender is making a deal with the borrower that it will only eat B'nechiasa, and the lender and the borrower agreed on a set amount of money that will offset the loan and amortize the loan on an annual basis. Certainly, although the lender could definitely gain, as he'll be able to eat more Paris than the amount that they set will offset the amount of the loan, but certainly there is some element of risk here, as potentially this field will not yield Paris that year, and potentially the lender will lose, and therefore in the case of Nechiasa, it's Mutta as well. And as Rashi says, Hachinami Loishna, the Chazinan, since we see B'negei HaHegdish, the Hecha D'Yoyer L'Safik, that as long as there is a Safik, and it's not a sure bet, and there is risk involved, V'noisim Moi Sel L'Shana, Safik Yiyu B'Paris, Safik Lo Yiyu B'Paris, therefore Haviz Vini Meikara, U'Mifrik B'Hachi, and it is a valid redemption. And the Gemara continues that Mazutra tells us, Umanda Asa, and the one that said that Nechiasa would be Asa, Amalcha, he will explain, Steyachuza Hegdashi, that even though you bring me a Raya from a Steyachuza, but that case is a scenario of Hegdish, Rachmana Ukmea Pidyon, and the Torah specifically tells us that you can be Poida, son of Hegdish, and therefore it is Xer Sakosov that this type of redemption works, and the Torah has no problem if the person that redeems the Sada actually makes money. But Hacha Vahi Umechsik Ribis, over here we're talking about a scenario of Halva, and therefore it's Mechsik Ribis, and maybe over here it should be Asar, even though certainly there is risk involved, and we will stop over here.